Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Yo, what's happening? Take in Tierney today. Hope everybody's doing well. Let's get going here from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you as well. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. We told you this is going to be a fun offseason, and we got a little step in a very interesting direction today. The first domino of what will be many, many moving parts, whether it's Dak's contract, whether it's Brady's situation, whether it's Cam's health. We actually have updates on all three. A move today, a decision by the great Drew Brees to come back and give it one more shot.
Yeah, man.
Season number 20 for the Saints, who are coming off a 13-3 season at the age of 41. The dominoes there will obviously apply to Teddy Bridgewater. But first, Drew Brees is back, which is good for football.
Of course. I mean, I think about this, and I think about a 41-year-old Drew Brees who threw for just under 3,000 yards last year. Let's forget how many that he missed five games. So only started in 11 games here. That's a robust number. His completion percentage led the NFL, and I think was also a record. And so we know he still got it. Like, he's got the viability. And if you're Drew Brees, you're relatively healthy other than age, right? You could go retire and go get in the broadcast booth and do this and that and the other thing. You could go hike and climb mountains and post Instagram photos like he did when he announced to Who Dat Nation that he was coming back. But I mean, that pales in comparison to competing at the highest level in a game that you love and that you're still damn good at. So I said earlier, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, when we were talking about Drew Brees potentially retiring, he owes it to the Saints to come back. I think now that I rethink that, he owes it to himself to come back, because what else is he going to do? You know, I mean, he could have fun. He's got more money than he's ever going to ever need.
And the broadcast booth will be there. It's not going anywhere.
If he ever wants it, it's going to be there. Yeah. He owes it to himself to give this one more shot at trying to win that elusive championship. And I think that's a decision you make when you're sitting on top of a mountain and it's beautiful and gorgeous and wherever he was. I think he was in Hawaii, whatever.
As long as your heart's still in it. Your body's still feeling pretty good. As
it seems like
detail looks like it is.
Seems like it is.
Okay, I think. Listen, everybody loves Drew Brees. I mean, Drew Brees is universally beloved. I mean, in the Bayou, he's literally a hero. And for football fans, he's got the utmost respect. He's a great guy. He's a great player. First ballot Hall of Famer. The numbers of the record book. He's obliterated. All the good things that go with Drew Brees returning to the National Football League, I love it. I mean, you know, flipping on the red zone or watching a standalone marquee game, whether it's Sunday night or Thursday, whatever it might be, or a 4:25 window Eastern on Sunday, and Drew Brees is playing, it's better than if he's not.
That's right.
However.
Gotta be.
Well, I gotta keep it real. The window's shut. I mean, he might owe it to himself to try to get that second championship. As you said a couple of weeks ago, even though you modify it today, you know, maybe he owed it to the Saints to come back. However you view that, that's fine. They're not getting to the Super Bowl. The NFC's too good. The NFC's too potent. He's not the same guy. And neither is Tom Brady.
But does he have to be? That's the question. Does he have to be that same guy in order to get the Saints back? Because, look, we saw this.
My answer is yes, by the way. My answer is yes. Go ahead.
So we saw this like 3 years ago. I'm like contemplating whether or not I agree with you. We saw this like 3 years ago when Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara are just this dynamic force out of the backfield. They were unstoppable. They kind of still have it with Latavius Murray, who is underrated for as good as he is at times and as powerful as he is as a runner. But, you know, you throw in the fact that Michael Thomas is the best receiver in the NFL right now, obviously because Antonio Brown is no longer around. But Michael Thomas was probably challenging for that anyways. You look at the statistics, it's number one in receptions by a mile, receiving yards, yards per reception, 100-yard receiving. I mean, it's just ridiculous how good he is. And a lot of that is because of Drew Brees, but also a lot of that is because of Teddy Bridgewater. It doesn't matter who's throwing him the ball. Michael Thomas is the man, right? So you got these offensive pieces around, these skill position pieces around you. You know that, yes, the NFC is tough, but it almost feels like it's they're in this on any given Sunday type moment. There's going to be the Rams, maybe you'll get back there, but the 49ers are certainly going to be back at the top of the NFC, you believe. I can't call who's going to be out of the NFC East,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe the Cowboys, maybe the Eagles, but not, I can't trust anybody in the East, so I'm excluding them. You look in the North, the Packers are going to be good again. And so there's like three teams that you contend with to say.
You left a few out. And by the way, the team you left out is a team that beat the Saints in the playoffs. The Vikings.
True.
And Seattle.
True.
I mean, it's a longer list. That's my point.
Yeah, but even with those teams, to me it feels like on any given Sunday, they could win it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The Saints could have beat the Vikings, or the Vikings can beat the Saints, or the 49ers can beat the Vikings, or the Vikings can beat the 49ers. Like, it's all intertwined. There's no team that I look at right now and it stands heads and heels above the rest. Or they have this, you know, like this pedigree, this X factor, whether it be, like if we were talking about the Patriots, that X factor would be Brady Belichick. No team in the NFC has that like X factor that guarantees that they're going to the post or going to the Super Bowl, which means that it could be the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees, which is why I think he owes it to himself to give it another shot. Like if there was no chance because these other teams were just so much better constructed and even at the quarterback position,
mm-hmm.
it'd be one thing. But I you can't say that right now.
No, I'm not trying to say that. To be fair, I'm not. Listen, like you look at the Bills a season ago. All right, the Bills were a team that took a huge step forward. But nobody thought the Bills would wind up in Miami. Nobody.
No.
Nobody even thought they'd be in the AFC Championship game.
That's right.
The Bills had a very finite window, at least pertaining to a year ago. Now the goal in Buffalo is to, mm-hmm. you know, by the way, you know, Darius Slay might get dealt.
Right.
And, you know, it wouldn't stun me if the Bills make a move for Darius Slay opposite Tredavious White.
I'm telling you.
That might change a lot in terms of the Bills getting to the Super Bowl.
But hell of a secondary, man.
It would be the best in football. It's already among the best. They were one of five teams that gave up below 200 yards a game in the air. The Bills' defense is phenomenal, as you know. But the point about a team like the Bills or even the Texans with the window, which is very identifiable, that's not the Saints. I will certainly grant you the Saints are on the list of teams that conceivably, theoretically, could win the Super Bowl. I'm going to give you that.
Yep.
But I'm also going to challenge a little bit. Like, I look at the NFC East, and I think that certainly Dallas – Dallas and Philly will both be better.
They got to hang on.
They're not going 8-8.
They got to hang on to Dak.
Oh, they will. They will.
But, you know, I'm being facetious.
Yep.
But still.
I think one of those teams could win 11 or 12 games. I think the Redskins will be better. Mm-hmm. I think your Giants are ascending. The NFC North, I know you kind of glossed over this, but I think you leave out a few things that positions the Saints less favorably for me than for you. The North is a beast. They lost to the Vikings. Drew Brees was pedestrian that day.
Yep.
He threw the ball 33 times in a playoff game, 33, and he had 200 yards, and it wasn't like it was snowing sideways out. You know what I mean? It was indoors.
I know.
And he had one touchdown, one pick. Didn't really acquit himself incredibly well. Vikings are good. Which speaks to the North.
True.
Packers are good. Bears are going to get better. The Lions, who knows what the heck the Lions do. The NFC South, very competitive. And then the West, as we know, Niners got to the Super Bowl. Seattle could get there. Rams have Ramsey for the whole season. Cardinals a year or two away. The NFC, this is not to say they have no chance.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a chance. But in my opinion, they will not get back there. So this is fun. It's good for New Orleans. It's good for the NFL. It's good for everything about football. But I just don't think they're good enough to get to the Super Bowl. I don't think he's the same guy.
I think that they've had circumstances. And I wonder this, and I can't answer this question because I'm not around them. But you look at the New Orleans Saints. They have been 3 years in a row just overachieving in the regular. Maybe not overachieving, but excelling in the regular season. Overachieving is the wrong word. I take that back. They've been excelling in the regular season. They get to the postseason. Their confidence is at an all-time high. They know that they have the talent to do it, right? Not just on offense, but on defense as well. And then something catastrophic happens,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the miracle or
the non-call.
The non-call or even last year against the Vikings.
Overtime.
Like, all these things always happen to the Saints squad. It's got to start to feel like, at what point does it become our turn? You know what I mean? And so you hate to put that non- you know, X's and O's, non-quantifiable I don't know, X factor to the Saints team.
Is it about karma? What they,
not
they deserve?
Karma. No, it's not that they deserve.
The football gods will finally smile
on
them?
But they work their asses off, man.
Everybody does.
Right? But and they're unique and they're fun.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
Even when they lose Drew Brees, they find ways to kind of go undefeated. Well, no, they were 5-1, I think, without Drew Brees.
No, they were 5-0. Teddy Bridgewater went 5-0.
I think the game he got hurt, they lost, right?
Oh, just, I mean, so, Teddy is a starter, correct. So, Teddy is a starter, 5-0.
Yep. And so when you look at this team, it's like, dude, you lose one of your best players and you don't lose, right? You gotta be.
Wait, but doesn't that tell you right there that the value for Drew Brees is not near
but
it's what not people think?
Yes, but I do.
If you win 5-0 without Drew Brees,
but I do believe that there's like something about Drew Brees that you need, right? There's like a trust. I like Teddy Bridgewater, I really do. We'll get into Teddy Bridgewater later on in the show because some people are throwing some ridiculous numbers out at Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy gonna get paid.
I believe he will, but what they're saying, I'm not so sure.
Okay,
but I love Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know if I trust Teddy Bridgewater in those moments that I would trust Drew Brees in. You know what I mean?
Like, I totally get it.
You have to come back. You're down by a touchdown with, I don't know, 3 minutes to go. You need a drive. Right? You need a throw. You need to beat whatever coverage, and you got to get it to Michael Thomas at this perfect spot. I believe Drew Brees is going to do that. Maybe Teddy does. I don't know if he
Let me ask you this. Do you still believe that Drew does it the way he did it 3 years ago?
Well, I mean, you see him lift like Jared Cook, right? Jared Cook was, I mean, I don't know if he made the Pro Bowl this year, but he was a Pro Bowl level player this year. Jared Cook, tight end.
Very good tight end.
And most people had, like, cashed him out. Like, okay, you're good. Your career's, you know, good job, you know, what if with the Raiders, you know. Maybe you'll find a couple catches here and there. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was phenomenal. And I think that's because of Drew. He makes people better. And I think that's the...
I can say that's because of Michael Thomas. I mean, I could flip that back to you and say...
Good point.
Michael Thomas is bracketed by minimum two bodies every play.
But still, putting the ball where it needs to be easy catches. Yeah. Drew Brees does that. You trust him to do that. Mm-hmm. As long as he still has that, I'm taking him over most guys in the league.
You lost to Kirk Cousins in a playoff game. Think about all the years you've
done shows
together.
The Vikings got a good defense, though.
So do the Saints.
True. But this is
what?
But this is my this is my point.
They're vulnerable. They're not as good as
and
they were the year before.
If they would have played against the Vikings 10 times, they probably win. Six of them? Five of them? Six? Who knows?
Flip a coin. Maybe 50-50,
and so,
maybe 60-40.
So the fact
maybe
that
40-60.
The fact he's coming back, he knows that. And that's not just against the Vikings. Uh-huh. That's probably against the 49ers, which also was a tight game as well when they played early in the
48-46.
Right? So it's against the 49ers, probably Seattle as well. Like, all these teams, they're coin flips on who you're picking. I mean,
but why were they on the wrong end of the coin flip every time that it mattered?
That's what I can't explain.
I can. He's not as good as he used to be. My whole point.
I can't blame. I mean, it's a team game.
I'm not blaming Drew. I love the guy.
I can't blame Drew.
Down the field, I see a little, like, and not that he ever had a rocket. It was always more about precision. I get that.
It's all timing.
But you start to see the ball, like, that little dip at the end on that 20-yard out. That same. I just don't see quite the same guy. And I see a lot of other guys in the NFC that are ascending. You know, Russell Wilson, he's a star. He's a superstar. All right, Garoppolo didn't play well in the Super Bowl, or he didn't play. He didn't have a good fourth quarter. So he can't put Jimmy G there. But you still have Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I mean,
he looked old, though, in his postseason.
Who would you rather have right now, Rodgers or Drew Brees? Come on. Come on. What do you mean? What do you mean?
That's a great question.
No, it's not. It's the most basic.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is, man.
Oh, come on.
I probably would say Aaron Rodgers, but I could be persuaded to go Drew Brees. I really could.
Oh, okay. It'd be a short line, by the way. So
I don't think so,
you don't need the fast pass for that one. Coming up, Teddy Bridgewater. This means a little something for him. All right, Drew Brees is coming back. So now the dominoes start flowing, not just for Teddy, also Taysom Hill by extension, but focusing on Teddy Bridgewater, the numbers being thrown out there for him, what he could command on the open market, are exorbitant to say the least. Is he worth it? We'll probe that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote. Go to GEICO.com. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. So, with Drew Brees telling everybody he's coming back, who that nation fired up, and rightfully so. Their guy's back season number 20. Not 20. There, but season 20 in the NFL,
crazy.
Obviously. with the Chargers, too.
He played 20 seasons, man.
Well, that's insane. Don't get hit for the last 10.
True.
That's his starting
point.
Good point,
but still, 20 seasons, man.
And he doesn't, you know, he doesn't look like a 41-year-old. His body doesn't look like he's 41.
He gets rid of the ball on time. He's smart with it. He knows, like, he's not running. You know what I mean? He's not trying to pick up, I got to go get 8 yards here. He's not doing that at all.
Mm-mm.
He's really smart with his body and with the football.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of being smart, there's going to be some reckless spending this offseason, all right? And with so many names, and I mentioned Cam before. There was a report earlier today that I read that the Panthers anticipate that Cam will pass his physical, something you and I could tap into a little bit later because we want to get into Teddy Bridgewater here, but that opens up possibly a more viable trade route if teams know he's fully healthy. Of course, their doctor's going to have to examine him as well, but if he's perceived to be fully healthy, maybe the Panthers keep him and say 1 year with Matt Rhule, see what happens, or maybe they're even more emboldened to trade him and start over. The point is, there's going to be a multitude of options at quarterback.
Yep.
And when that happens, somebody invariably will be left with a chair that they don't want to sit in. And when that happens, you overspend to compensate. Now, the number right now being thrown around for Teddy Bridgewater, who you and I both like.
Yep.
We don't love him, but we like him. $30 million.
I mean,
that's insanity.
It's insane because I like him a lot, and I think he's a fantastic guy for your locker room, leader for your locker room if he has to be. But $30 million is that level of paying a quarterback when you start to say, man, what else are we compromising on our team to sign this guy, right? And if he's been there for a couple of years and there's like equity within the organization and the fan base, it makes sense. But to sign a quarterback in free agency for $30 million? I'm trying to think if this has ever been done. I mean, Kirk Cousins obviously is the lone example. But in free agency, it just doesn't happen.
No.
And this
it's going to happen this year.
Of course. This season presents this opportunity. And so we're kind of in uncharted territory as it pertains to, you know, what the free agent market is going to look like. Like, and when I say that, we know what the free agent, but you're not leaving your team. So it's free agency, but it's not really free agency. We know what that market looks like. We know what, you know, Russell Wilson signed for. We know what Aaron Rodgers signed for.
Carr.
And Derek Carr. Like these guys who were free agents, I put that in quotes, but not ever leaving their teams.
Matt Ryan before
right?
that. Sure.
We know what that market is. That's $30+ million. That's why we believe that Dak's going to get 30-something, 35 or so, and Patty Mahomes is going to get 40.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We know what that market looks like. But to actually hit it, and go have someone else who didn't grow up with you or you didn't grow up with them pay you $30 million just seems extreme. It feels like an overspend, especially if you need other pieces. And what do we always say, BT? No team is a player away. Not a quarterback away. And if they are, I mean, maybe you're going to fall in love with Teddy Bridgewater, but I don't think I would fall in love with Teddy Bridgewater as my player away for $30 million.
It's got to be the right team. It's got to be a team with a running attack. It's got to be a team with an offensive line. It's got to be a team with a decent defense. Mm-hmm. If anybody, and this is not to disparage Teddy, this is just to look at what he's put on film and what he's put out statistically since he entered the league. If you believe that Teddy Bridgewater is going to come in and elevate your offense to a level that is, upper echelon, I would respectfully submit that you're really wrong. I don't see that. If I close my eyes, whether it's the AFC Championship game or the NFC Championship game, wherever he goes or whatever, and I say, boy, let me see. Can I see Teddy Bridgewater thrown for 3 bills and 3 touchdowns on the road? No. The answer is no. I'll tell you who I can see doing that. Now, the problem is he might throw 5 picks before he gets there, and that's Jameis Winston.
Yeah, that's right.
If I'm going to give somebody $30 million, I need to know. Now, it might not be fully visible and fully evident, but I need to have the belief internally, my football, every football sensibility, every ounce of football sensibility, I need to know that I can reach in there with the proper coaching and the proper weaponry, and I can elevate that person and make him, and he's going to become a superstar.
Especially now that he has LASIK vision surgery.
And it's going to help.
He can see more clearly downfield.
And Jameis Winston shows that. We all watch Jameis play, because even if you don't want to watch the Bucs play, you have Mike Evans, you have Godwin, you might have in fantasy, you might bet the over. I mean, people watch the Bucs a lot more, I think, than people would probably think.
Yeah.
This guy flings it as well as anybody.
Agreed. He's got a great ceiling. We know that. We've seen it since he was in college, BT. He's not only, this stud of a quarterback at times, you know, the mistakes notwithstanding, he's also a really good leader. You know, like we saw it from the very first moment he got to the Bucs. And if it wasn't for his mistakes, and I'm mostly talking about on the field, but off the field as well, like people would be talking about Jameis Winston as like the model. Like, this is the guy. He's a champion in college. He's, you know, he stand up. He right there with the players. Whatever.
Yeah. Almost like a linebacker. Exactly. Mentality. He's big and strong.
Right.
He leader.
He's loud. He's like rambunctious. He
sells tickets.
He's entertaining. Yeah, but he's entertaining.
Yep.
He's got that rah rah nature to him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you
need, dynamic.
If you need him to fling it for 450 on any given day, he's up for the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, I believe in that side of him, and I think the Buccaneers do too. So I don't think he's going anywhere, right? I think the alternative, whoever that may be, whether it's Teddy Bridgewater, whoever, or someone in the draft, but they're not going to be high enough to get someone. I don't think that they match what Jameis brings. So that's why I believe, while even though you're saying this kind of, you know, not as if he's going to be a free agent, Jameis Winston. But if the Bucs have a choice, they're not letting him go. I know they need other needs.
But they do have a choice.
They do, but I think they're gonna sign him.
I do too.
He played his fifth year option. They got to determine whether they're gonna franchise tag him, which I think is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you,
would be somewhat receptive to it.
I mean, he has to be.
Because he just threw 31 picks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he has to be receptive to it.
Yeah.
I think they're going to franchise tag him and try to build the rest of the team and see what happens. And then if he shows out, then they sign him to a longer-term deal.
You know, and the five-game window that Bridgewater started, granted, they were against a couple of pretty good teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at L.A., the Rams, not that the Rams were playing well early.
Yep.
But the Rams, Seattle, Dallas, Tampa, Jacksonville, and Chicago. And, you know, I don't know that it would be that different if he's quarterbacking for a different team. 165 yards, 177 mm-hmm. yards, 193 yards.
That's right.
Well, granted, he is also rusty at that point, hadn't played a lot of football, had to ease him into it to be responsible to the young man and not destroy him. 314, 240, and 281. So, to be fair, even further fair, the Rams game, he came in when Breeze got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's why I don't know how much, I don't remember how much he played, but 165. But he had two of the five starts below the 200-yard threshold, which in the modern NFL is kind of hard to do. Let's flip this forward, and let's, you know, still have to see what Brady does and what happens with Cam and all the new names that we've been spitting out there for months. What is the perfect fit? Forget about money for a moment.
Yeah.
Let's say if somebody finds it palatable enough to swallow $30 million for Teddy Bridgewater, where would he fit best? What team?
Los Angeles. Makes the most sense.
Rams or the Chargers?
The Chargers.
Chargers? Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because they have a good defense. They have a decent running game.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to.
Gordon's going to come back.
They got to figure out what they're doing with Gordon. But even without him, Eckler's a good player.
Yep.
Right? So they're balanced. They're mostly balanced. And they would have gone a lot farther, I think, the Chargers this year, if it weren't for the mistakes that this team made in the pass game. You know, Phillip Rivers just kind of lost it. Like, we talk about this all the time with most position players. Rarely do you see it with quarterbacks fall off the cliff. Phillip felt like he fell off a cliff.
Yeah, he did.
You know?
Yeah, he was
and
bad.
It's why they were so willing to part ways with an icon for the organization. They just kind of send him out the pasture. Have fun in Florida. You know, we're parting ways with you.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Right? It just felt kind of callous for a guy who has been your starting quarterback for 16 years.
That's what happens when you play in a market where nobody cares. You couldn't do that with Eli.
That's right.
You had to do it differently.
That's a good point.
You know?
That's a good point.
Can you see better, you know, the Chargers, now that you think, their receivers are mm-hmm. good, tight end good. Bears or the Chargers, better fit?
Probably the Bears, but the Bears are seemingly committed to Trubisky.
Out of stubbornness, probably.
Because they moved up. They justified moving up.
Yeah, I think
I think you're right. It is out of stubbornness. It is, we're committed to this guy. We told you we're committed to him.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to stay committed to him, even though he's not the guy.
Can you see Gruden having any interest at all? I mean, I think Derek Carr has more talent, more arm talent.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't
Colts
think so
maybe.
Either.
Colts maybe.
Yeah, but the Colts. If you see, I could see Rivers going to the Colts.
Yeah,
actually could.
Yeah,
and
I was thinking in a vacuum, like outside of like competition for these jobs.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
So I hear you. I'm looking at all these teams. I don't think we're missing anybody. Now listen, if Jameis ever left, there's an opening for Tampa. You can squeeze him in pretty seamlessly. Is Teddy Bridgewater better than Brissett? Yes, but for the money Brissett's making versus the money that's reported Teddy could command, you really want to pay Teddy 30? Or Brissett, what is 17, yeah, whatever he's making, 17, and then fill out the 18, rest of the roster?
Yeah, I would.
That's probably the more prudent play.
Agreed.
You know, Denver's got Locke. They don't need him. So this is going to be really, you know, maybe it is the Chargers. Maybe it is the Chargers.
But the point is, I don't see that there's enough teams to drive his number to 30.
Well,
because if he's free, that's how you get driven to 30.
What if there's an opening with the Pets? I mean, Bridgewater is seemingly a Belichick kind of a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Cerebral, steady, easy leader, protects the football.
But here's the question you have to ask yourself with the Pets. Mm. And it's an important one because this plagued Tom Brady last year. Well, not just the money.
Why would they pay Teddy 30 when they wouldn't pay Tom Brady 30?
Are there enough offensive weapons for him to really excel?
No.
I think you're right.
Absolutely not.
So it just doesn't make sense roster-wise, mm-hmm, roster construction-wise,
yeah,
to go to New England.
All right. Pretty interesting stuff. We get Axe update coming up. Kyrie Irving. You know, it's funny. Kyrie seems to have two different reputations. One reputation outside of the NBA and then one reputation inside of the NBA. And very different ones. We'll get to that coming up in Inbounds, Out of Bounds. Axe update is right now. Here's Rich. All right, going to get to Inbounds, Out of Bounds here in a second on Tiki and Tierney. First up, though, time for the Player of the Week, brought to you by Grainger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week. We give a little love to the Kansas Jayhawks and Devon Dotson, a sophomore guard, 29 points, 6 out of 8 from behind the arc in Kansas and the route over Iowa State. They beat him by 20 last night. Saw some clips of that when I got back from the Garden, and Kansas just jumped him. Dotson was phenomenal, averaging 21 points and 5 rebounds over his last three games. Player of the Week sponsored by Grainger. Delivering the products to keep your facility running is what Grainger does best. They've been doing it for 90 years. Visit Grainger.com for whatever you need, whenever you need it. Grainger, for the ones who got it done. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Coming up next hour, we actually did this in Inbounds, Out of Bounds yesterday, and we think that there's so many layers to this conversation. We want to go back to it because and we'll do this at the top of the hour, 4 Eastern, so 20 minutes from now, after Inbounds, Out of Bounds. But it revolves around what's going to be an absolute absence of star prominent players, at least those who will be drafted highly,
yeah,
in this year's NCAA tournament, and what that means and how we view that. There's a lot there, so Teek and I will get to that. But first up, time for a little Inbounds, Out of Bounds. You good?
Let's do it.
Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Took your advice.
I tell you.
It took me 5 years to figure it out.
Looks like you hit it.
Come on. All right, so back in Miami before the Super Bowl, we caught up with Cam Newton, and he told us that he expects to be back in Carolina.
Are you sure you're going to be a Panther?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You talked to Matt Rule yet?
Yes, sir. Huh? As a matter of fact, you know, it's devastating to not have the coach who drafted you. But mm-hmm, at the same time, you got to turn the page. Had an unbelievable conversation with Marty Herney, GM, David Tepper, the owner, as well as, you know, Coach Rule, the new head coach. And, you know, I left that meeting inspired. You know, not only, and I told them, I said, you won't find another person in that locker room with more to prove, not only to you, but I got to prove to myself.
All right, pretty good stuff from the former MVP. We've seen conflicting reports, however, and lukewarm comments from GM Marty Herney and owner David Tepper about whether or not they want to keep Cam around. Now there's a report, and we referenced this at the start of the show when we were talking about some quarterbacks, Drew Brees, Teddy Bridgewater, etc. The new report says the Panthers front office expects Cam to pass his physical in March. So it opens up this question, in or out, Cam passing the physical makes it more likely that they will trade him.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this, BT, because I don't see what the other option is at quarterback for a team that's pretty good
Teddy
offensively. Teddy B could be.
There you go.
I keep discounting Teddy B.
Yeah, you do.
But they're not paying him 30. I can guarantee you that. But maybe. But if he's healthy and, you know, he's still got some football left in him. The question is it worth for the Carolina Panthers to risk him? Yeah, I know he's healthy now, but are you going to get hurt again in 5 weeks or 8 weeks? And is this a one-year deal, or are we committed to you for the next 3 or 4 years, which is what I think they're looking for?
I'm going to say out of bounds. I think they take at least a one-year shot on Cam Newton.
Interesting.
If he's healthy.
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to say that, even assuming health. Okay.
Yep.
I'd like to see it because just based on the response from the interview, so many Carolina Panther fans weighed in. And
loved it.
Yeah, a little bit to my surprise. Like, I thought that more Panther fans maybe would be ready to turn the page. They were pumped up, I mean, that he spoke so definitively that he was going to be back. And they really took that and ran to the bank with it. So I was a little surprised in a good way. But I'm going to say inbounds for this regard, in this regard. Matt Rhule, listen, he's got all the security. Outside of John Gruden's 10-year deal, Matt Rhule getting 8. He doesn't have to win next season, all right? Now, we also don't know what type of owner David Tepper will be in terms of, now we know he's going to provide every resource, or at least we gather that. Mm-hmm. Will he be kind of like a Steinbrenner, like he wants results right away, like a Daniel Snyder who's all over the map? I don't think so, but you don't know. My answer is inbounds, though, for this reason. Just logically speaking, while I think Cam's got a little something in him, and the NFL's a better place when Cam's Superman and, you know, having fun and getting in the end zone and doing his thing, I don't think it makes a lot of football sense to, you know, have like a one-year bridge and maybe go 9-7. Heck, maybe go 10-6. I don't know. Maybe host a game. Maybe win a game, whatever. You're not going to win the Super Bowl, I don't think, next year. So why not just start the process, hit the reset button completely. Let Cam go somewhere. Even confer with him. Hey, listen, Cam, we have to do what's best for us. But you've been good to us, so we can find a partner. Where would you want to play? Maybe we could help you out in that regard. I don't think Cam is back next season, even if he is healthy. And I really hope he is for Cam.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. For the past 3 years, Paul Gasol has served as the VP of the NBA Players Association. However, his term expired this season, and the players voted for a new VP to serve under President Chris Paul, electing enigmatic. Santa thrown in the enigmatic word there. He kind of is, let's be honest, at least to the general public, maybe not in the NBA. Net star Kyrie Irving. While Irving is considered fairly bright, attended Duke for a year. He's had a lot of issues with teammates starting back in Cleveland, and obviously Boston was very messy, as we know, and even in Brooklyn early on. He's some awkward post-game quotes about the roster and what they need, and that was not received very well. Joe Harris didn't even mention him. Joe Harris is so important to that team, didn't even mention him. In or out, Kyrie Irving is more respected and liked in the NBA than it appears from the outside.
I'm going to say inbounds to this, BT, because you see it whenever you're around him. And I've been around him a couple of times. One was at CC Sabathia's charity basketball game. I mean, that was over at St. John's. It was at Carnesecca.
When you scored a layup?
Reverse layup.
Six years ago,
It was about 5 or 6 years ago. So he was still
Barber up and in with the reverse. Tiki for the deuce.
Sweet. I spun it, too.
Did you spin it?
I was like, how did
he didn't spin it.
I swear to you. It was by accident.
Like Kyrie Irving spin?
It was by accident. Totally by accident. I'm like, how the hell did that go in?
It's like when we get a wedge to check up on the green. It's by accident.
Exactly. I got you. My only 2 points of the game, by the way.
Hey, you scored two more than me.
But he was younger then, and I met him, and he has a presence. Like, people, you feel his, like, I don't know if it's like his intelligence or you feel his, like, I don't know. There's something about him that I think is appealing when you're in person, like when you're standing next to him. And then I saw him like a few months ago when Michael Rubin, the owner of the 76ers, had this party. And Berkowitz invited me, our buddy Ron Berkowitz, who hooked BT up.
He did.
And Baha Mar. Mm-hmm. But again, you feel the same thing. So I think if you know him, it's different than how he's perceived via media. Whether that's on print or on television, he comes off as odd.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he actually is that way in real life. So I'm going to say inbound.
I agree. A lot of the things that, I don't want to say got him into trouble, because he hasn't gotten into trouble, but have caused some unnecessary burdens that he's kind of had to dig himself out from, Kyrie Irving. It's when he tries to explain things to the non-basketball players.
That's right.
So
that's
the fans.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
So when he's with his players, you know, his brethren, I think it's a different exchange. And let's also, you know, it is what it is. It's still a schoolyard grammar school element. If you can play,
you're
generally just more popular. And he's got the sickest handle I've ever seen.
At the end of the day, that's really what it is.
Yeah.
You just respect the hell out of his game.
He's got the sickest handle I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He's got the best handle of all time, in my opinion. So I think that, you know, the young guards coming up, they try to mirror that on some level. And the fact that they voted him in speaks volumes. I think it's an easy one. Absolutely inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Mets star Yoenis Céspedes hasn't played in the majors in nearly 2 years after getting hurt in July 2018 before missing all of last year due to ankle issues he suffered while on the ranch. We know about the ranch now. Mets fans are tired about hearing about the ranch. Now Cespedes is
his boars.
Who knows what's going on there? Cespedes is back in spring training, and he's taking some rips in the cage with the team in Florida. But he isn't planning on discussing any progress with the media.
All right.
So he was asked if he had a couple of minutes to speak with the media, and Cespedes responded by saying, quote, "No, not today, not tomorrow, not at all this year," end quote. In or out, players should be allowed to avoid speaking with the media if they don't want to.
Out of bounds, man, because everybody would stop speaking with the media because it's tedious. And some guys are gregarious and they like to talk and, you know, grow their brands by being in the spotlight. Most of them don't. I tell you, they'd rather, especially guys making millions of dollars, they'd rather just go do what they do and play the games and not have to answer for, you know, maybe mistakes that have happened on the field or off the field. So I'm going to say out of bounds, because part of the reason that the games are so popular, the sport is so popular, is because we get to know these guys' quirks and either make them villains in our own minds or heroes or our baby faces or heels, if we want to take the old WWF/E references.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say out of bounds. I think they need to talk in order for us to be as engaged as we are with the product.
I think it's important. I really do. I don't mean that you need to talk every single day. I mean, but my answer is out of bounds as well. I think that, well, not I think. I mean, you are a liaison from the team to the fan base, a bridge to, you know, not that you need to divulge state secrets. I mean, but I think it's a horrendous PR look. And at the end of the day, players need to realize that, you know, when there's 40,000 people at Citi Field, in large part, they're paying the contract the Mets gave them. You know, same with DeGrom, same with the Mets were getting paid. So the quicker they are to realize that, the better. If you don't want to talk today, that's fine. If you want to say even, I want to focus on getting healthy, that's fine. But to make it all year was irresponsible, very petty, bad luck. Answer is out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teague, the Daytona 500 ended yesterday after being delayed on Sunday with Danny Hamlin winning his second in a row and third overall for Joe Gibbs' racing team. However, on the final lap just before the finish, Roush Racing's Ryan Newman spun out and crashed. It was vicious. Got hit by another car, flipped over multiple times, skidded to a fiery stop on the track. It was scary stuff. Many fans and drivers were upset to see Gibbs and Hamlin celebrating while paramedics raced to Newman, and both Gibbs and Hamlin later apologized, saying they didn't realize how serious the crash was. Now, earlier today, Hamlin discussed his reaction with our own Jim Rome.
You know, we went out there, and I kind of just stood there in the grass, but it was well before I knew anything. So, obviously, you know, crashes happen all the time at the end of the Daytona 500 and a lot of races in general, but, you know, we definitely didn't know the severity of it until afterwards. So, definitely still thinking about Ryan and his whole family. That's our main concern still at this point.
All right, again, that's Denny Hamlin, the 2020 Daytona 500 winner. So, Newman was rushed to the hospital. Many feared for his life, obviously. He's taken out of those weeds, if you will. His life is not in peril, but he's going to have a tough recovery. And the team tweeted he's in serious condition, as I said. So, in or out, Gibbs did owe Newman and the racing community an apology for celebrating the win.
I'm going to say out of bounds. I don't think anybody knew the severity of this as it was happening. Denny Hamlin and Ryan Blaney were battling for the finish line. This was a photo finish, and this crash happened on the last lap. Now, let's not forget, Indianapolis Motor Speedway, where the Indianapolis 500, or the Daytona Motor Speedway, where Daytona 500 is enormous. It's 2.5 miles, right, around. So this crash happened. They finished, I don't know, 15 seconds later. It's so far behind them.
Yeah, you can't even see it.
You can't see it. So
you'll hear the ambulance, sure.
Exactly. I'm going to say out of bounds.
I'm going to say out of bounds as well. I thought there was a very respectful tone taken by Gibbs. That Hamlin, once they found out the severity, they stopped their celebration on the spot.
That's right.
I don't know what else you could ask of a human. You want to empathy and be aware and obviously take that into consideration. You don't know the severity. Once they found out, they stopped, which I think is the right thing. Hour 2 coming up. Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.